Paul Meacham, Jr.
Do you love God? That might seem to be a silly question, but the Holy Spirit included in God's Word not only that we should love Him, but why we should love Him. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we learn, "We love Him because He first loved us." God has already extended the hand of love to us. That love has been demonstrated in the giving of His Son. 1 John 3 and verse 16 teaches, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Come and study with us today, and let's learn about the love of God that we find in God's truth for the world. And we thank all of you for joining us today as we turn to God's Word and begin a new study on the love of God. There is no topic in all of the Bible that is more pleasant to discuss than God's love for us. For the Bible teaches us very clearly that God loves us and that He loves us so much that He sent Jesus, His Son, to die in our stead. We're going to take our text for the next three lessons, Lord willing, from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. These verses teach us in very clear terms about the love of God. Begin reading with me, if you would, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God has demonstrated His love toward us. And in this passage, we find all the aspects of the love of God. We find, first of all, that God's love brings us life. Notice again with me verses 14 and 15 of John 3. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." A reference is made to an Old Testament event that occurs back in the book of Numbers. Now, just as the serpent in the Old Testament brought physical life, Jesus gives us spiritual life. But to understand that, we must first understand this reference to the serpent. Many of us think of the serpent as a bad thing because the devil took on the form of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But here we find God using the form of a serpent in order to save His people. Notice, if you would, Numbers chapter 21, beginning in verse 7. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He will take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." What occurred here is that the children of Israel rebelled against God's leader, the leader that God had set up above them, that being Moses. They spoke against God and against the man that He put in leadership over them, and in doing so, God punished them because of their blaspheming. He sent serpents, snakes, among them who were poisonous. And when the snakes bit the people died. Well, the people understood that this was punishment from God, and they plead with Moses to seek for God's forgiveness on their behalf. God, instead of removing the serpents as they asked, tells Moses to build a snake out of bronze, put it on a pole, and when people look at it after being bitten, they will live. Now, the people had rebelled because they didn't trust God and His provision for them. They weren't satisfied with that. Because of that, they spoke against God. We need to take a message in that. There's a lesson for us to accept the provisions that God has made for us and not to seek something else. We should do so both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Also notice that God did not give them what they requested. They requested that God remove the snakes from them, but He didn't do that. Instead, he made a way for them to be saved after they had been bitten by the snakes. God knows our needs much better than we. Remember the words of Matthew 6, beginning in verse 7? "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." We should trust God when He makes provision for us and not speak against Him. But if we do speak against Him, we should repent and turn back to Him, willing to trust whatever provision He makes. Now, the snake brought physical life. The people, after having been bitten, could look upon that bronze snake and they would not die. Jesus brings spiritual life. Notice, if you would, John 12, beginning in verse 32. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now, Jesus is drawing a comparison between himself and the snake in the wilderness. The snake was lifted up on a pole. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. The snake brought physical life to those who came. To those of us who come to Christ, He brings spiritual life. Mankind rebelling against God and His provision for them from the very beginning of time. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you read, beginning in verse 11, about Adam and Eve. And God came to walk in the garden in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve had hid themselves. When God called for them, they finally came out, and they told God that they hid from Him because they were afraid. And He asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." You see, God had given them a beautiful garden in which to live. He gave them the responsibilities of tending and caring for the garden. And He gave them everything they could desire, everything that was available but one tree. He said, "Of that tree you cannot eat." And that is what they ate of after being tempted by Satan. They did not trust and accept the provisions that God had made for them. Because of this, man dies physically. Now, it is not true that we suffer the guilt of Adam's sin. Many would have children be baptized at birth because they believe Adam's sin, the guilt of Adam's sin. That's not true. Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." It is not true that we suffer the guilt of Adam's sin, but every person who lives will die physically unless our Lord returns before that death occurs. That death, that physical death, is a product, a consequence of Adam's actions. Because of Adam's actions, we were cut off from the Garden of Eden, cut off from the Tree of Life, and therefore, we die. Now, it is true that all men are in need of a Savior, not because of Adam's sin, but because of our own. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 8, says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." We often fall short of what God would have us to do. In doing so, we sin. And in sinning, we need a Savior. But we must change, just as the children of Israel in the wilderness repented of their sin and came back to God, we must repent. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 30, reads, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of all this by raising him from the dead. God has promised us, assured us, that there will be a day of judgment. If you believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, then you must believe in the judgment, for one is the proof of the other. Man sins, therefore needs a Savior. When man repents, he can come back to God because God has provided a Redeemer. Just as He provided the bronze snake in the Old Testament for those people, He has provided His Son on the cross for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13 reads, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. God has offered us redemption, not by removing sin from the world, but through His grace He has offered a way to heaven through the sacrifice of His Son. The people rebelled against God in the wilderness. Snakes bit them, and they died. When they repented, God made provision for them to live by putting the bronze snake on a pole. Mankind has sinned against God, each of us individually. When we do so, we fall, and we need to be redeemed. If we repent and turn back to Him, He has put Christ on the cross, and by doing so, redeems us, buys us back to Him. But God wants us to be saved. It is because of that desire for our good that Jesus has come and died on the cross. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.